He wrote saying, John is his name, and they all wondered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, dear children, today the Church celebrates the birth of Saint John the Baptist. In the case of other saints, it is not the day of their birth, but the day of their death, which is canonized, their day of death being the day of their entry into the glory of heaven. Only two saints have got their birthday into the Church calendar, namely Our Lady on September the 8th, because she was conceived without the stain of sin, and the other one is Saint John the Baptist, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost before his birth. The Jewish law ordered that a male child should be circumcised on the 8th day after his birth, at which time a name was given to him. It was customary to give a child the name of a relative, and as none of Zachary's family had the name John, there was some hesitation about agreeing to Elizabeth's wishes without first learning the opinion of her husband. And so Saint Zachary wrote, John is his name. This was the name which God, through the message of his angel, had already given to the child. The name John means Lord has had mercy. Elizabeth and Zachary, by this time, recognized that God had shown his might in this child, because John had been given in a wonderful way to his aged parents. They felt that God destined this child for something great. Dear faithful, there is many times lots to expect from the bearer of a certain name. 1 week ago, the name of the newest Swedish royal baby was revealed. There had been lots of speculations about the name which he would get, and this so because the name tells so much not only about the history of the family, but also the culture in which the child will grow. The baby boy of Princess Madeline and her husband, an American businessman, Chris O'Neill, was named Prince Nicholas Paul Gustav, Duke of Ångermanland. The announcing of this baby's name was very formal and dignified. The statement containing the name was read aloud by the king at the cabinet meeting at the Royal Palace in Stockholm. Also present were Crown Princess Victoria, as well as representatives officially called witnesses in this context, such as the Swedish Prime Minister, the Marshal of the Realm, and the First Lady of the Court. The middle names of the new prince, the Paul Gustav, are tributes to his two grandfathers. Paul is the name of Chris O'Neill's late father, who died in 2004, and Gustav is the name of the king, Carl Gustav, and this name is very common for male members of the Swedish royal family. And as with Saint John, there was some surprise element in the prince's first name. Nicholas is not a traditional name in the Swedish royal house, and while Niklas, spelled with a K, is a very common Swedish name, the royals picked the more unusual spelling Nicholas for the baby. So whenever something unexpected happens in the formal announcement of the name, it creates some buzzing and wondering how come this might be, And so it was this case with Saint John the Baptist as well. The new young prince of Sweden was also given the title of Duke of Ångermanland in northern Sweden. There was a surprise element in this as well, because it was the first time Ångermanland has been designed a duchy. Dear faithful, Saint John the Baptist, both by his name and by his preaching, was to herald the coming mercy of God, the redemption done by the Messiah, Christ the Son of God. But he was not to announce or inherit an earthly kingdom like this new young prince, but Saint John was the herald of the new royal house, Christ the King, the ruler of eternal kingdom of heaven. Saint John was to announce that the names which had previously assigned the chosen people of God, the Judites and the Israelites, were to be abolished, and a new name, Christian, or followers of Christ, were now to be designate the chosen people of God, the members of the mystical body of Christ. Because he proclaimed this immediate approach of the Redeemer, Saint John the Baptist was also the last of the prophets. After Christ had come and established his church, there would not be need for prophets anymore, and anyone presenting himself as a prophet would by necessity challenge and dispute the teaching authority of the Holy Catholic Church. It did happen many times, like in the 8th century with Saint Peter Mavimenus, that a Christian was martyred because he refused to recognize new prophets. Saint Peter Mavimenus was martyred because he said to the Arabs, "Whoever does not embrace the Christian and Catholic faith is lost, like your false prophet Mohammed." Later, after our Lord's ascension, when the Gentiles started to join the church together with the Jews, Saint Peter held a speech in Jerusalem where he said, "And I remembered the word of our Lord, according as he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If therefore God hath given them that same grace as to us also that believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that might prohibit God?" And it was at Antioch when the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Saint John the Baptist came into the world in a state of grace and grew daily in grace in virtue. All of us, however, have born into the world in a state of original sin. But by baptism, this sin was taken from us, and we received sanctifying grace. Have we then been faithful to that worthy inheritance of ours? Have we been staying as far away as possible from sin, like Saint John the Baptist, and remaining a worthy bearer of that glorious title, Christian? No sin is ever excusable in person who bears this glorious name, Christian. How eagerly we should protect the reputation of our name, which we received in baptism, comes out very clearly in one historical story. During one of the battles fought by Alexander the Great, he was informed that one of his soldiers had displayed great cowardice on the battlefield. The general ordered the soldier to be brought before him. As the soldier stood there, the general asked him, "Soldier, "What is your name?" Shamefacedly, the man replied, "The same as yours, sir, Alexander." "Then," said the general, "either you change your name or you change your conduct." Dear faithful, when we today feast on this birthday of the last and greatest of the prophets, we should do our utmost to also imitate his virtues. Saint John was a lover of penance. He lived far from the world in the solitude with God. He was obedient. He went through fierce persecution, even martyrdom among the Jews, but readily undertook this task because God had commanded it. He was brave. He did not hesitate to speak out the truth boldly to the Jews, although he knew they would hate him for it. He was humble. He said, "I am not the Christ. I am not worthy to loose the latchet of his shoes." This path of the great Saint John the Baptist should make us love the title Christian. The name Christian must always be associated with that of Christ, the most heroic of all who ever walked this earth, and whom the saints loved to imitate. If we show cowardice in the face of our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we may expect our Lord to say to us, "Either you change your name or you change your conduct." But if we stay faithful, we can, after our death, claim our inheritance, which we received in baptism when we were proclaimed the followers of Christ. And our inheritance is something much more precious than the duchy of Ångermanland, namely the heavenly kingdom. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.